Oh yeah.
Well, I'm riding along.
Another year in the saddle.
Singing the same old cowboy
with the wind at your back.
That's been sung 100.
The rain over the horizon. Your green grasses, your blossoming flowers, your faithful steed, and your favorite riding partner. Miss Jennifer, good morning on the New Year's Eve holiday edition of Rosie on the House.
Good morning. All this rain is going to make some really pretty spring flowers in a couple months, huh?
Oh, this could be gorgeous. What a great introduction weather-wise into 2017. Well, we're coming in, broadcasting live on New Year's Eve, to share with you a whole bunch of great information. One of the things we wanted to share with y'all, without getting too self-consumed, is some of the hilarity that we've had at our home in this past week. We had all six children traveling in from all corners of the world land at our house. Some by plane, some by car. And they brought with them all of their grandchildren. So we have had...
They're our grandchildren.
They're our grandchildren. They brought their children. Thank you very much for that. And I guess we're going to have them all together Monday again, right? So they're coming and going and whatnot. But boy, the things you learn from listening to 3 and 4 year olds, it's absolutely, absolutely hilarious, especially on Christmas morning.
Well, your perspective as a grandparent, you tend to see things with a lot more sense of humor than when you're the parent responsible for, you know, disciplining and training. So we do a lot more laughing.
Last week on Christmas Eve, we talked about the rules of opening presents and that, you know, it's just outright cheating to open anything on Christmas Eve. Nothing gets opened on Christmas Eve. Everything gets opened on Christmas morning. And then do you do it one at a time, where you can give Uncle Ned his whatever, let him open it, talk about it for 10 or 15 minutes, go on and on about how grateful and thankful he is for it, or do you just mosh pit it, where you just put a starting line at the end of the living room, cut the line, and let all the kids just go for it? Well, that's kind of the style we have at the Romeros. It's definitely a present opening, free-for-all grandchildren mosh pit.
But it was on steroids this time.
For about seven minutes, it's pretty exciting.
And then, who gave me this? I don't know. Where'd the other pieces go? I don't know.
And then every piece of trash that leaves the living room has to pass 4 sets of eyes to verify nothing's getting thrown out. And so you're going through wrapping paper and boxes and bags and, here's a horse, you know, or here's a American Girl doll, or, you know, don't throw this out. So, but the line of all lines this week was from my 3-year-old.
One of the 3-year-olds, Braxton.
Baby Braxton. Christmas morning, all the presents are opening, all the paper's been piled up in one corner of the room. We're getting ready for this massive traditional feast that we always have prior to our early afternoon nap. And she is kind of having a meltdown over, like, this little racetrack game thing that one of the kids got that weren't hers. And one of the other grandchildren wanted something that was in her pile, and she came mildly undone. And James, her dad, picks her up and puts her on the elevated kitchen stool and looks at her eyeball to eyeball and starts giving her the life lessons of sharing and being happy for others that they have nice things. And the entire sermon got wrapped up with Braxton's conclusion to the lesson. I don't like sharing my things. Then her dad says, well, whose things do you like to share? And she points across the room at her little brother and says, his.
Sharing takes on a different perspective when it's my things. As opposed to your things.
The things I learned from Baby B. Oh, man. Took him to the railroad park yesterday. That was a blast. Boy, how long have we been taking kids to the railroad park? 35 years. So that was a special treat. And Again, we've got our own bowl game that everybody will be coming over to watch. It's actually on this morning, so we're recording it. And somehow you try and go into a complete media communication blackout where you turn off your phones and try not to hear the score, and then you start the game like at 4 o'clock this afternoon. But we've got the Fiesta Bowl. What is it?
46.
46. I was here when the Fiesta Bowl was born. You know, in like two more years, I will have been here half the time Arizona has been a state.
What?
There's something about that that makes me feel old.
Say it again.
Arizona was only 52 years old when we moved here, and we've been here 50 years.
Oh.
In two more years, or one more year, I will have been a resident of Arizona for half the time that it's been a state. And then I start getting proud about that, and then I meet, you know, like John Harper, third generation Arizona. We got here pre-statehood days. So, but the Fiesta Bowl, I remember when it was born. You know that bowl game was born out of spite?
Okay.
We had a football, you know, football conferences have gone through a lot of changes. But it used to be called the WAC, the Western Athletic Conference.
Well, they still have that, don't they? That conference? Isn't that what Boise's in?
I
think that...
You know, you may be right. I thought that was like the mountain, the Mile High, or what's the key word for Montana? Mile High Sky? Big Sky Conference?
Oh, maybe.
Big Sky Conference. But ASU was particularly ticked because they were consistently being ranked in the top 10 or 15 under Frank Cush, but never getting invited to a bowl game. So I don't remember the men behind the initiative, but the ASU got stumped, just, you know, ignored two or three years in a row. And so some guys got together and said, okay, we're going to start our own bowl game. So this was like, you know, a D-ranked bowl game. I mean, it was just a spiteful little bowl game that got started at the ASU stadium back in about 1970 or 71. And
pretty small place back then.
And I don't remember the earlier people that managed it or run it. You know, I don't know what the population of Phoenix was in 70, 71. It couldn't have been over about a million, million and a half, I don't think. And Sun Devil Stadium and the river bottom was dry back then. And if you wanted to get close parking and you had the right kind of car, you didn't have to worry about the parking lot. You just kind of pulled into the river bottom, parked there, and just walked to the stadium. But, you know, it was really through the 90s that CEO of the Fiesta Bowl, John Junker, took it from like this second and third rate bowl game to like one of the premier bowl games in the entire country. And I can remember, I don't know, how many times has ASU played in the
six?
Festival? Six? How many times have they won?
Five.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Pretty good win-loss ratio in the Fiesta Bowl. Now,
just drawing from memory.
Only one of those times were they a Pac-10 team. They were all their first five appearances, they were still on the WAC division. And, yes, Western Athletic Conference still exists, but it does not have Boise State. The Grand Canyon University is in the WAC.
Okay, all right. Very good, very good. So it still does exist. I guess conferences don't just go away. They just get realigned, I guess. But, boy, during the 70s, I used to love to watch the Sun Devils. And, you know, there was that one catch. It was not in the Fiesta Bowl, but it was ASU versus U of A Territorial Bowl. I think it was 74 or 75. We had a wide receiver. I don't even remember the name of the quarterback, but the wide receiver was John Jefferson. And to this day, they still call, I think you can Google John Jefferson's The Catch. And it's an end zone catch. He's completely stretched out. You know, he only stood like 6'2" with his arms out above his head. He probably stood about, you know, 7 foot. But in this catch, he stretched out about 9.5 feet. And he's completely horizontal, and he just fingertips the ball and falls to his stomach in the end zone for a touchdown. The Catch. You can still watch it on Google. I think I watched it at the beginning of this football season just for fun. But that was the standard for wide receiver receptions until last year when Odell Beckham of the Giants made that one backhanded on his back going into the end zone head first, raises up one hand and catches a pass with his fingertips. That redefined the catch.
It's on a lot of every commercial, too. And you mentioned bowl games. You wouldn't believe how – do you know how many bowl games there are? I have no idea. But
Too many. And I love football.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of the New Era Pinstripe Bowl? The Motel 6 Cactus Bowl?
That one's been around a while.
National Funding Holiday Bowl?
I haven't heard of that one. Holiday Bowl's been around.
Quick Lane Bowl?
I mean, the Fiesta Bowl for me is still the Sunkist Fiesta Bowl. That was one of the original sponsors.
I always remember Tostitos.
Yeah, it was Tostitos for a long, long time, but it started as Sunkist, the Sunkist Fiesta
Orange
Bowl.
Juice. You think this bowl was another one of those, we're going to start our own bowl because we're tired of getting ignored? San Diego County Poinsettia Bowl?
That's pretty specific.
Oh, man.
Fine, we'll just make our own bowl.
We're going to be talking a little bit later this morning about homeowner resolutions and what y'all should be thinking about in the way of gaining control of the planning revolving your home improvement, your remodeling, and your maintenance in, about, and around your house, home, castle, or cabin. We'll be talking about that. We have Greg coming in at 8, right?
Greg Peterson, the Urban Farmer, will be here for Outdoor Living Hour, taking questions. And it's also fruit tree time. And if you've got some bare root that you want to order, they have a great program to help you get started, grow your own food.
Last week we talked, the entire show was about the things we as a family found most interesting about our topics in the last year. Not necessarily the topics that drove the most response or drove the most homeowner participation, but the ones we thought were the most interesting. Well, this week, today, we're going to be talking about the topics you picked as the most popular topics of Rosie on the House in 2016. That's all come right here at Rosie on the House.